Hi, welcome. Thank you again for coming up and spending part of your Saturday with me. I'm really, really excited about today's call. We've got Robert Young from the Texas Note Company, and don't let the Texas Note Company fool you. He will do like I will, go anywhere to make money. And Robert, you want to just say hi to everybody?
Hi, everybody. Yep, my money is green in Texas as well as it is in Idaho or Maine.
There you go. That sounds good. Well, I want to, you know, we still have people coming on, and I showed it's just right now 4 o'clock on the dot, and so I want to just go ahead and remind everybody for some housekeeping rules. If you've got a question at any time during the call, press the star 6, and that will get you in the Q&A queue. And also, I want to make sure everybody knows about the buying trip coming up in Atlanta, which is April 11th through 13th. I've teamed up with Pete Asmus and Ivan Oberon, and they are the coast-to-coast real estate investors, and we just sort of stumbled into each other and realized that we had the same goals, the same ethics, the same, you know, the same everything. You know, nothing should slow you down for investing anywhere in the country, and right now I'm still limiting it to just the country because I can get into enough trouble right here than trying to go international. But anyway, I would like you guys to consider putting that in your schedule. It's a fairly inexpensive trip, and we apply your fee to any deals you do with us. So, and to find out more about that, it's GeneNorton.com/Atlanta. And this is the first and possibly only trip that we're doing like this. I mean, it would be just wonderful if I could get them to come with me to some of these other areas. They are a busy lot, I'll tell you. Those guys, they are on the radio 5 days a week, and they do webinars, and they do podcasts, and they do it all for free. I don't know where these guys get the bandwidth, but I'm really excited to be joining up with them and looking forward to the Atlanta buying trip. And it will be a lot like my other field trips. I'll have knowledgeable people there. I'll have, you know, it'll be a learning experience. It's going to be a little bit different than a lot of other educational seminars or educational trips where normally they teach you everything that they think you need to know and then they leave. And this is the first of its kind. It's we're actually going to have properties, and we are going to invite you to joint venture with us. And so you can actually see everything that we do step by step and work with us as we go through a property rehab or a property rental. So I encourage you to take a look at it, GeneNorton.com/Atlanta. So let's see. I want to start talking about money. And Robert, and I've known Robert for a number of years. We're a part of the same networking group. And he's, you know, always been a note broker, and in fact, he's been on this call once before. If you guys go to rehabbingremotely.com and just search for Robert or notes, we did a call on how to structure a promissory note so that it will sell easily, and it was really full of good information. And so now he's back this time. Since I guess that was about 2 years ago, right, Robert?
I don't think so. It seems like it was shorter than that, but it may be 2 years. Time is flying.
I know.
I'm thinking about when we just started our first networking meeting. So,
I know, man. Time is flying. And, of course, right now, like you say, the note business is exploding. And I am not surprised. I mean, you look at what has happened in the credit markets, the fact that nobody can earn any solid interest on a secure investment. Nobody can get a loan, so they're depending on private money. And, you know, with that, what are they doing? They're doing seller finance, promissory notes, and then there's people out there that are tired of a 0.25% interest on their money, and so they want to buy some notes and earn higher interest rate and higher cash flow. Mm. So I am not surprised at all that you are getting pretty busy. So can you just, I'll remind everybody, Star 6 will get you in the Q&A queue, but could you just, you know, give us a little overview on your business and what you do? And
Right. Well, I mean, you know, what I do is, you know, in the note business is I look for real estate notes. I'm a note finder. I get as many facts about that note, and then I put a lot of effort, time, and money in finding people who like to invest in those notes, and, you know, I broker them out. I've also bought them one or two notes from my own portfolio and sold them at the same time. The interesting thing about that business right now, as well as I also do some hard money lending, is investors, you know, private money want to find 8, 10, 12, 15% return on their investment. And like Gene said, the credit markets and some places in the stock market, you just can't get that right now. But with a, you know, solid portfolio of notes, you can really cash flow and make a very solid interest rate right now. So that's essentially that's what I do right now. I'm a hard money lender, as well as I find notes, and you know, I've really focused on the last 18 months and putting a lot of effort and finding those notes and really, you know, positioning myself to do that. And, you know, I've left money on the table because I've had so many of those come across my desk and haven't followed up with them the way I should, I'm sorry to say. But that's a good problem to have. Now, you know, I've developed a process within my office to handle those leads and notes that come in there, so we make sure that we don't leave money on the table, that we, you know, address each and every one. Some notes we are able to get a deal done, some notes you can. It all depends on it. So in summary, Gene, that's, you know, kind of what I do every day.
So you know, you're a note broker. So you mm-hmm. find the notes, and then you find the people that want to buy the notes. Now, what are, you know, I've had previous calls about non-performing notes, and I've studied a little bit about non-performing notes, and mm-hmm. and I know that you're always, you know, more on the performing note side. And so tell me, what do you do, what services do you offer as you bridge that gap between the note and the buyer?
Right. Well, I mean, I started in this business, I want to say really probably about 10 years ago. And at the time, I was working at Dell Computer and Dell Finance and doing a lot of database work. But, you know, the writing was on the wall at Dell, and so I needed to find something else. And I found the note business. So what I do is I go out and I find notes. You know, that you know, what I've learned in those 10 years is really nothing else matters. As long as I can go out and find the leads, work the leads, you know, continue, recognize that when a note comes across my desk and, you know, look at the three different things that we always look at, and then know whether or not I need to spend time on it and move on to the next one. Now, that's been the real big thing for me, is not only to recognize notes that I can actually broker and get sold, but also recognize notes and that other people have tried to sell and can't, but I can, just because of the experience that I, you know, have gained over the last 10 years of, you know, being able to walk the walk and talk the talk, but also recognizing that, you know, there's certain buyers that like certain types of paper. And having those different buyers in my stable all the time has really helped me. I mean, 2013 was a great year for us. Over $120,000 in commissions, and you know, our average commission there, we started, you know, when I started the business, my average commission amount was, you know, maybe $1,200 or $1,500. I was just doing anything to get a note sold, but now, you know, it's above $5,000 a pop, and the largest commission that I've had to date so far has been $25,000, and the interesting thing about that is the $25,000 commission was really, really easy. That was, you know, as far as the process is concerned. I didn't have to do a lot of work. Everything was in place. I just kind of had to align. The stars were aligned perfectly. I mean, I just had to get, you know, I knew the buyer would take this right away, and all the information was there. And right around Christmas, that was a nice Christmas present for us.
Wow.
And, you know, that's fantastic. And the thing that amazes me is when I first, you know, my first deal I ever did took me like 60 days, and it was $1,200, and I worked my tail off. And, you know, then I look at $25,000, and I hardly worked myself at all. But, you know, that happens.
Yeah. That happens. That happens, and it's because you worked that 2 months on that $1,200 commission that you got to that point. I mean, I see correlations with everything you just said with my business, with rehabbing, with, you know, I had some frustrations with my deals in Chicago last year, and now I just stumbled across this really sweet deal in Clearwater, and I'm going to make a bunch of money without hardly any rehab. And it's like, when that happens, you say, I deserve that.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just, you know, it's kind of funny. But I mean, the other part of that, and then this is where, you know, I think I've gotten really good at the process, is I recognize on that particular note that the guy had shopped it around quite a bit, and he got the door slammed in his face because the credit of the borrower was not very good. But I also have in my stable, you know, investors who buy paper, who only look at the value of the property and the note and the, you know, the LTV there. They're not as concerned about the credit unless it's just absolutely terrible and, you know, is unhelpful. But in this case, not only was I able to go to that buyer and get a good price for it, but I, you know, I also kind of took to the fact that, you know, it was bad credit. And the seller knew it, so I was able to take advantage of that and build a bigger commission for myself. Whereas when I started out of this business, I would have gone, oh, yeah, I don't want to take too much of a commission. Here, Mr. Seller, you know, you take that. But now, you know, I don't do that. I need to make money. I work hard for it. I work hard to, you know, find all the things that I've been doing. And, yeah, like Gene said, I deserve that $25,000. So.
I know it. I mean, sometimes you get those deals. My experience is about once every 3 years you get something really sweet fall in your lap like that. But it wouldn't happen if you didn't go through, you know, all the learning that you went through with the other stuff.
Right. Well, and that's been the big thing lately with my experience and with the marketing that I've done. I spend a fortune on marketing. And by doing that, you know, not only the marketing I do with, you know, the internet and SEO and Google and all that stuff, but the networking with people like Gene and other groups and everything in Texas and Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, and my local market, you know, I really beat pretty hard. People, you know, you get these attorneys, hey, I heard you're a really good note seller. You're a Texas note. We need some help because I have this probate situation, or a husband and wife got that. So I have my phone ringing from a lot of other professionals where I didn't have that before. And that's just, you know, going to the different networking meetings and standing up and with confidence say, hey, this is what I do. That's another big part of it is the confidence of being able to get a deal done. When you're doing a $170,000 transaction or, you know, even a $30,000 transaction, the people that are doing that want to know that whoever is brokering it or buying it or whatever knows what they're talking about. And in my industry, the note brokering industry, some brokers get in, you know, I call them joker brokers because they want to get in and get rich quick. And
Right. Basically
what they do is they kind of mess up the transaction. But I come in here and I tell them exactly what I'm looking for and, you know, some of the pitfalls that we're going to, you know, experience. Like on Friday, I had a realtor in San Antonio, and I could tell she's a really good realtor and she knows her stuff. And she has a note that she wanted to sell. We made her an offer, and she's like, oh, you need to go back and come back. You know, I know that all the comps and everything that on the property, on that property and properties around, it's $102 a square foot. And I was like, well, you know, that's great for protective equity and everything else, but we're looking at the paper. We're looking at the return on our investment. So that's why you're getting the offer you're in. Well, I'm not buying the property. I'm buying the paper. And, you know, once I explained that to her, the little light went off in her head, and she fully understood. She wasn't happy about it, but she understood why she received the offer that she did. So we should probably close that in the next 2 weeks. So it's just having that experience and recognize it and being able to do the punch is what made the difference for me.
That's great. Okay, so, you know, I think a lot of probably your time is probably educating people that
mm-hmm.
you might have a note or might wanting to be buying a note, because, you know, one of the things that happens is when you sell notes, you have to sell it at a discount pretty much. So like if you've got a $60,000 note on a $100,000 house earning 5%, well, people aren't going to want to earn 5% based on a $60,000 investment. So what they might do is offer $40,000 for that $60,000 note so that they can increase their effective yield, correct?
Exactly. So now, Jean, you're kind of touching on what I spoke about last time I was on how to create a note. You know, a lot of people, when they sell property and hold back the financing, you know, they look at the banks and what's kind of happening with the mark, and they say, okay, Mr. Buyer, I'll give you an interest rate of 5% over 30 years. And, you know, that's why I kind of frown when I find a note that it's 5% over 30 years that somebody did. And usually they're answer to me is like, well, you know, the banks are doing that. And I was like, well, yeah, you know what? The difference between you and a bank is a bank lends the federal government's money. And the Fed funds rate is about 3% right now. You're lending your money. If the banks had to lend their own money, the interest rates today would probably be, you know, 12, 15%. So that's why whenever somebody, you know, holds back financing, I always encourage them to do 8% or above, you know, and preferably I like 10%. So when a person like me comes along and that person wants to sell his note, and he said, yeah, you know, I created a 15-year note or a 10-year note with a 10% interest rate on it and all these different clauses of the contract, I always go, great, you know, you've really done a good job at creating that note. Now I can, you know, work that note, and I know that there are investors that will buy that note but also give you the amount of money so you can exit that transaction and you'll feel good about it, you know, Joe Seller. And if they have a 5% note, that's not the case. They basically get a big haircut at about 50 cents on the dollar. So that's why in the owner finance community and you're creating owner finance notes, that's why I always preach, you know, get a good down payment of, you know, 10% or better. Get a, you know, 10% or better than 8% interest rate on the note, and then try to keep it as short as you can, around, you know, 8, 5, 8, 10 years, whatever it may be, because then you give yourself an exit strategy. Should you need that cut, that money later on down the road, you could sell it and pull the cash out of that note and feel good about it. Whereas if you do, you know, 30 years is a long time. And 5% over 30 years, you know, that's just not, not enough. You know, they're not investors that aren't going to do that. So,
yeah, I know we had a property we inherited, and we sold it owner finance. And I consulted with Robert, you know, beforehand, and he just gave me some, you know, really good advice. And, you know, I did exactly what he said. I insisted on a hefty down payment, and I think we were at like 9 or 9.9% on the interest rate. And I pretty much shocked my real estate agent, Harold McGee, at the time. He was just shocked that I was able to get away with that kind of interest rate. But I was. I mean, they knew that I was structuring that note so that I could sell it. And I use that as a reason. I mean, I'm trying to sell this note. And really the difference in the interest rate for them wasn't all that great, you know, for the person we were selling the house to. But at least, and thank you so much, Robert, for, you know, giving me that guidance when we set it up. Now, as it turns out, we didn't sell the note. And but at least now I feel well-armed if I am going to do this again, how to structure the note. And I want to remind everybody that somewhere deep in the rehabbingremotely.com audio is Robert's podcast on, you know, our podcast on how to structure notes so that it'll sell for maximum value. Because that discount, I mean, a lot of people that might have a note, that discount can, you know, really take some people by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that, because I've had that same discussion with Harold and Esmeralda about interest rates. I mean, they're realtors and brokers, and they, you know, preach the owner financing, which I think is fantastic. And then they hear me get up and say, you know, that interest rate basically establishes the value of that note. You need to have it 8% or above. you know, from a realtor standpoint, you know, especially if they're representing the buyer, they want to have it a little bit further down. Even at the seller, they, you know, they look at that. But I know from an investor's point of view, that's why I have the one presentation, you know, create a note with an investor in mind presentation. And it's just, it's very, very true. And but the other thing that it does, Gene, for the actual note creator is like, you know, if you created it 7, 8, you know, up to 10%, you may not want to sell the note like you haven't done in your particular situation. But the incentive there for the borrower to go get refinanced and, you know, and get qualified to refinance is much greater as opposed to if it was a note at 5%. They just get there and pay it for the rest of the 30 years where, you know, at some point in time, they're going to get tired of paying 9.9%, and they're like, look, I need to go get this refinanced. So from your perspective, you've got a couple of different options, and you as the note creator want to have that there. So whether you sell it or, you know, eventually refinance and pay you off, which is what you want. So that's good. I commend you for that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's you know, I had to hold my ground on that one, and Harold, you know, his eyes are bugging out, but one of the things that you have to remember, whether you're, you know, buying and with, you know, your own notes or whatever, is real estate agents don't get paid unless a deal closes. And how you structure the seller financing doesn't make any difference to them on what they get paid. So they're going to try to make it as easy as possible so that everybody can close the deal. So, yeah, you do. If you are in a situation where you're doing seller financing on one of your properties, you do kind of have to hold your ground. So,
absolutely. You really do, because, you know, I could see it from a real estate agency, you know, that could be a deal breaker. You know, hey, I understand it, 9.9%. Okay, you know, I'm not going to buy it at 9.9%. Well, those are my terms. And then, you know, okay, next. And you just have to have the stamina to be able to say there, good, not get all excited about a brand new buyer and just like, no, that's not going to work for me, and move on to the next one. That takes a lot of discipline to be able to say that. As opposed to just going with the transaction. And your realtor is going to go, they're going to roll their eyes and go, gosh, you know, just accept it. You know, but you got to hold your ground. You got to. You know? It's your money.
I know. Dealing with real estate agents, and you know, this is one of the things that I talk about on my trips too, is you know, understanding everybody's motivation. And everybody's motivation is the money, and when they get the money, and it's not the same time that you get your money. And so when you go into transactions and negotiations, you know, regardless of the transaction you're involved in, you have to recognize where everybody is, you know, where everybody's coming from. And you know, because of Robert's guidance, I knew I could hold my ground and do what I needed to do. And as it turns out, though, Robert, just to give you some feedback, we didn't sell the note because when we looked at the money that we were generating with that higher interest rate, it was the same amount as if he was renting the property. So he got the same payments without the responsibility of looking for tenants and, you know, all of that stuff. So it was just easy cash flow for him. So,
yeah,
you know, you never know.
Well, that works.
Yeah, that works too. And so she ended up selling the house. She rehabbed it and sold the house and paid Bill off. So that turned out to be really good. So
right. So
tell me, is there like some central place somebody can go if they have a note that they can try to sell it? Or, you know, what's your
experience? Well, they can certainly, you know, contact me at texasnoteco.com. And, you know, we can, you know, run the note through our process. And so now my office has a process of way that we evaluate the note and, you know, get it in front of the right individuals that need to, that want to buy it. And so yeah, that's at texasnoteco.com, and so TexasNoteco.com. And go through the contact us or sell your note part of that website, and we'll be more than happy to, you know, work the note for you and get it out. Now, the one thing that we started out the call was is like, you know, I'm a Texas note company, and I would say that 75% of my business is in Texas just because of the name. I live here, and local investors help that. But I've actually done transactions in Iowa, New York, California, Idaho, and Maine, just to name a few of them. And so some of the things that I've done, like in California, there's another broker in California. Sometimes I have a hard transaction or something like that. I have a broker there. Well, I'll call her up and I say, hey, Dawn, you know, I have this note here. I think it's going to take a local investor to actually buy it. Who do you have? And by networking and splitting the commission with her and working that deal, I can get it done, as opposed to, you know, kind of strong arm. So there are a bunch of different avenues that I've learned to be able to close a deal. And the reason I've been so successful is for the fact that I have local investors that know the Texas market. And a lot of people all over the country really like Texas paper, have worked with those buyers, had dinner with them, understand, you know, what they're really looking for. And then when I'm right on the border or something, rather than Jim just saying no, I've really gone in and found the facts about the whole transaction. That's why, as a note broker, I'm really a fact finder. So I go in there and I figure out who is the borrower. You know, is it a husband and wife in the 40s with two kids? Where does she work? Does she work at a school and he works for UPS? All those information, because people are creatures of habit. And so I'll look at the taxes. I'll look at how they pay their bills. I'll look at, you know, I'll ask the seller, how do they pay their, you know, payment to you every month? You know, do they pay you by cash? Oops, red flag. You pay by cash, yeah. That means it's hard to track. Do they pay you by money order? Not as big of a red flag, but still kind of money. Well, why do they pay for you money order every month? Because they don't have a checking account? Well, then why don't they have a checking account? If they pay by check is what I want to hear. My next question is, if they pay by check, well, do they write in the memo section, you know, February payment? And usually that means if I see February payment on a check, that says, well, you know, here's somebody who sits down and pays their bills every month and does what they never do. So that's pretty good. And then I learn as much about the property as I can. You know, what kind of curb appeal does it have? When was the property built? What kind of property is it? Does it have a chimney? Does it have a four-car garage or two-car garage? Is there a windmill on it? Are there cattle? All that particular information, any and everything that you can get out of that property, because what you have to remember is I'm developing a story. And when I sit down and develop a story and talk to that to my investors and tell them about that, then I can really get them at ease and, you know, say, yeah, I'll buy that right away, and boom. And I know that a lot of brokers don't do that because, you know, this is where I found out that some of my investors, they don't only use just me, but they use other brokers too, and they're like, we've seen this before. But Robert, we didn't know of this about that property, that, you know, it had a trench in the middle of it, and it was a two-lot property, and it had a well, and, you know, the barn actually had a cement slab and all this other kind of stuff to it. And so because I went the extra mile to find out what it was about that property, then you know, I'm the one who closed the deal, you know, and that's what set me apart, to find all that information. Because when somebody's going to lay down $100,000 or $70,000 to buy a note, you know, they want to know what they're going to get, you know, not just look at it on paper. So fact-finding is the biggest part that's really come full circle for me about notes, because some of my buyers, a banker of mine in Houston, I mean, he used to beat me up, just downright rude on me. He's like, look, Robert, what am I doing? Am I swinging at a pinata? Go out and find this information for me. I was like, geez, okay, I'll do it. But I responded well to that. You know, I needed somebody to kind of punch me in the nose and say, go back and get it. You know, I had to call that seller back again after I'd been on it a couple of times and get that information. And now I just do it every time. And it is, you know, that it speaks volumes.
Wow. You know, I look at there's some websites like, I guess there's online note transaction websites, and you just hardly get any information on those, and it just sounds like your level of service makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I have a mentoring program, and I had a new mentor in my office the other week, and he went to one of those sites, and he pulled up the note, and I was like, you know, we can't even tell when the first payment is on this thing. You know, what is it about it? And
yeah.
I did a little sleuthing around about it. You know, I found out what the property address was, and then I went to the county websites where I learned who was paying the taxes, and then, you know, found the deed of trust online and all that kind of stuff, and then I just bypassed that website and called the seller directly and say, hey, can we work a deal? And amazingly enough, I did.
So that's a lead source for you now.
Yeah, it was a good lead. You know, it doesn't always happen like that, but that particular situation worked really well. And my student in here, he's like, man, how did you figure that out? That's just, you know, you're kind of connecting some dots here. And
that's
it worked. But
That's all you have to do. I mean, it's like you said, you mm-hmm. found out who was paying the taxes. You're not afraid to work through the county websites and find out who does what and what the situation
right.
is. And a lot of people wouldn't even bother doing that. And that's a lot of work.
Well, it does what sets you aside. I want to tell you a quick funny story of a note that we
sure.
told last year. And it's a property in Combs Mills, Texas, which is very, very rural. It's in East Texas, heavily wooded. Lady calls me up, says, you're Robert, Texas. No, I've seen your video. I was like, yeah. She's like, well, I have a note to sell. You know, I live in, Tennessee now, Knoxville, and I, want you to go out there. And she's like, well, it's a nice mobile home, and they've got a little cabin in the back. I'm like, all right, cool. And then they got, this spa, out on the side. It's a big whirlpool. It's like, oh, it sounds really nice. So, we ordered an appraisal, a BPO. The guy goes out there, and he can't get on the property because the fence says, this property is protected by Smith & Wesson. So he didn't want to go in there without, being able to, call somebody first. So we sent him back out there, and he took pictures. Well, this mobile home, it was beat on. It looked like it was beat on with a tire iron. I mean, just an old 1972 mobile home that was all beat up. The cabin in the back was like a, plywood shed in a treehouse. But the spa was the killer. It was an above-the-ground pool with this wooden fixture on it, and it had a Johnson Evinrude motor on it that they used for a whirlpool. And I was just, my jaw dropped. But you know what? I sold the note. I got it sold because there was value in the property. But that particular picture was unbelievable. I'd never run across that. So you find everything in this business.
Well, I remember one time that you had somebody in Pennsylvania that wanted to just give you a note. Is that true?
Yes. He wanted to give me a note, a small little bitty note with a, he had a squatter, as he referred it to, on the property, never paid the bills. And this is one of the, this was a real note that, he wanted me to take the note from it and just evict the person and get him out. Well, the problem with that is Pennsylvania is a fiduciary state, meaning that
right.
if you're going to foreclose on somebody, you have to go through the court process. Well, I looked in the court dockets, they're backed up by about 8 months and, just taking over that moat and going through the foreclosure process, we'd have to spend more money than what the note was worth. So I told him, no, I didn't want to do it because it was, too far away and I couldn't just kick the person out. And I even tried to help him to say, did you offer him a deed in lieu of foreclosure to where they just vacate the property, give it back to you back? And she didn't do it like that, the borrower didn't, because they like living there for free. And they knew that they had this particular borrower, the leverage on them, And he was willing just to, deed it over to us and if we'd foreclose. That was only Stigmont. And I thought seriously about doing that, but the fact that it was in Pennsylvania, a fiduciary state, there was not enough return on investment for me to make enough of a return to be able to do that, even if with him giving it to us.
Right, and I remember trying to help you out with that one, and the property value was pretty low, and it just wasn't an attractive place.
Right. A boom needs to happen in that town for that to be able to work.
Well, it might be a little bit different now. I mean, there's those kinds of places, the Rust Belt, the Southeast, all of that, that's sort of, becoming a little bit more popular. And we are seeing some loosening of the credit market. So,
right, we are.
It may be. It may be. I don't know particularly about Pennsylvania. I haven't invested there yet. But now, what is your best way to find notes?
That people want to sell. I mean, when I got started out in this business, you know, I would fill out postcards and mail them to everything. I would go to the county websites and I would look at the grantors and it would say, you know, Wells Fargo, B of A, Quicken, all these different mortgage companies, and all of a sudden I'd see Joe Dodge. Ooh, Joe Dodge is on a grant. And that usually told me that here's a guy that did owner finance. Let me look up Joe Dodge and, you know, the white pages. Give them a call. So that's how I get, you know, that's how you do the ground roots getting leads. The other way is there services, you know, like Experian is one of them, you know, all the credit agencies provide leads that, you know, they have recognized as individuals that receive monthly payment on sold real estate. So you can buy those and then you can get, you know, address, phone numbers, and even note amount. So what I would do, and I still do that, is I go after counties in Texas, all Texas paper within the past 24 months, and I request notes that are greater than 50,000, and I send them postcards. That's another way that I do that. Networking, you know, I go to as many networking events around the state, and every time I get up and talk, everyone says, "Oh, you're a notes. I have a client. I have this and that." That is, you know, and even Gene in our group, you know, our networking group, I've gotten so many leads out of that particular group alone. It's been fantastic, and you know, and close a lot of note deals just from that. You know, so that, you know, the referrals and networking is really, really big. You know, you can't just do one thing. Of course, I also have, you know, the online presence where I'm doing videos and SEO marketing and any other kind of marketing that my marketer can waste my money on to do. It's expensive. But by doing more and more deals and creating them, that, you know, it's allowing me to, you know, establish a presence online. But I think, you know, a big part of my business now is becoming referrals and networking, and that's working really well. You know, the online is too. I can't deny that at all. But referrals and networking is big.
You know, that's one of the things that I think people really need to understand is that people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And when you put yourself out there like you do, Robert, you know, go to the networking meetings, you talk to people, you can speak to any deal that you've done and talk about, you know, because probably just like in my business, in your business too, no two deals are the same, most likely.
Right, right, no two deals are everything. But, you know, that comes along with being consistent, as you well know, Gene, that we've always talked about that at our Thursday meeting, you know, to constantly go, because then people recognize you, they know who you are, and you're there all the time. You're you know, going through some of the same struggles as other individuals in that meetup group are, you know, because the market conditions are, you know, what they are, but it affects us all, even in our own little niches. You know, it affects us, but, you know, the consistency there has been really, really good. And, you know, I can't stress that enough. That's why, you know, I've tried to go to other towns and be consistent. It's just hard to get on the road all the time.
Yeah, I agree. And it is, and, you know, that particular group that we're in is truly unusual. And the consistency is key. And I see people doing deals together. And, you know, I just really, you know, this is just, even when it was so small and just a few of us, it was good just to sit there and share and tell each other stories and what's going on, and even talk about what's going on in your kid's school or, you know, whatever.
Right. That's just it. You get to know people and you know what, you know, what they're all about and what's important, you know, to them, you know, because usually in those deals, the family's important. I mean, the one we had last Thursday was, you know, kind of funny because one of my loan servicing clients, you know, he's been flipping things. He worked at Dell too, and, you know, he would call me up and ask me all these questions. I'm like, Chad, you got to go to our Thursday meeting and meet those people. And then you get there, and he'd never met me in person before, and he's like, oh, I was invited here by Robert Young, and everybody kind of laughs and turn around, like, oh, yeah, he's right back there. He's like, oh, okay. And it's having that type of recognition and, you know, being able to do that and being the note guy in that group that's helped so much. So that's been a big thing. And, I mean, yeah, you know, the other part of it is I've worked on branding the Texas Note Company and myself, to be the note deal. And, you know, so now I've really positioned myself well, and I think that 2014 is going to be fantastic for the Texas Note Company as far as notes go.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm, you know, I've known you for years now, and I've just seen what you're doing, and you know, the different avenues and areas that you explore for, you know, money making opportunities. And it sounds like, you know, your sweet spot is in the notes. But mm-hmm. So what are you doing? Because you mentioned to me the other day that you were doing some things to help grow your business.
Right. So now, you know, a couple of things that I've gotten into the hard money business, and it's kind of funny because, and I didn't reckon this, but the hard money business, and my niche on the hard money side has been $100,000, between $100,000 and $30,000. But that has, you know, morphed itself out of the note business because of the contacts that I have, you know, because I have a couple of investors that buy notes from me all the time that were, you know, quite frankly, they were interested in the hard money, and they were able to make 12% return over money, short-term high-interest loan on a guy who's flipping a property. And it just was kind of an off-the-cuff sort of thing that I asked them. I said, hey, this friend of mine has this deal. Are you interested in it? And all of a sudden, wham, and then it kind of took off by itself. But at the same time, because, you know, with this particular investor I'm thinking about, he actually used to be my boss when we were consulting, and he likes to play long-term and short-term. So the short-term was hard money loans. The long-term are the notes that, you know, he's bought from me as well, too, and he has about six of them. And so for his portfolio, you know, his ROI, I guarantee, is probably about 18% on his total portfolio on what he's getting. You know, he's pretty shrewd, but that has been very helpful. Another thing that I'm starting to do this year is I've created a mentoring program where I'm starting to take on students in my program. And I have one student now, and I have three spots left for three more individuals that qualify and would like to be a student in our mentoring program. And that's where, you know, I use my experience and I help individuals start their business. Because, I mean, in a way, I'm creating my own competitors, but I don't mind doing that because, you know, the note business is big enough to, you know, really work it all. And if we really work in teams, we'll really close a lot of deals and we'll really make a lot of money. So I'm excited about to do that type of thing. And I've created a program on the programs that I and the people that I learn from of being able to find notes. Really, it's a mentoring issue on how to find them. Really, you know, nothing else matters, really. You go out and find a note, we'll take it from there and do that. Because my objective with my students is to bring them on, find the notes, work them, and get a deal closed within 3 weeks of them finding that first note deal. First note deal is always the hardest one.
You told us earlier in the call about your struggle in your first deal, and it took 2 months to do $1,200. And I can almost assure you, anybody that you accept into your program, it won't take them that long.
Right. It won't, because, I mean, kind of what note brokers do, and I think we're all guilty of this, every single one of us who get in there. I mean, you get that first note deal, and you just work it, and you almost, you know, turn a blind eye to everything else. You know, you need to get that first note deal, work it absolutely as hard as you can, but also continue to do the marketing and find the other notes. And I didn't do that. I wish I would have, because, you know, I all of a sudden was consumed by getting this one $1,200 deal that I ignored doing everything else like I probably should have. Because some people who are smarter than me, you know, they went ahead and kept looking after it. So as soon as they got that first one under the belt, you know, a few days later, all of a sudden the second and third came. And so my second and third didn't come till another 30 or 40 days after the first. And so that's what I want to be able to, you know, tell my students and mentor them along. It's like, all right, you know, we'll get our office in here behind you, working your deal. You go out and find the next note and do things like that. So that's really where we're kind of, you know, focusing on. Because a lot of people, when I started this, they're like, oh, the note business is easy. You know, you can get rich quick. And I knew better than to, you know, I knew better than to think like that. I knew it that, you know, you get in it, you got to be consistent, you got to continue, just, you know, hold the course. You know, hold the course of what you're doing, and, you know, just don't throw up your hands and give up. You know, I never said, well, I'm not a quitter. You know, I'm definitely getting the deals. And after I started getting a few deals under the belt, then I was like, all right, I got this. You know, all right, we're going to plow through. I know what I need to do next. And so with that experience is hopefully what, you know, I'll shed off on my students to make them as successful as well, too.
Right, and there's a couple of things that I want to point out that you had said that I feel is really important, too, is, you know, like you said, you called Dawn out in California, and you collaborated. Mm-hmm. I mean, she does the exact same thing you do, and, mm-hmm. you know, you can look at it as competition, or you can look at it as collaboration. And, right. Yeah, I know, I see it in the real estate business, too. I mean, there's people that, you know, hold things close to their chest and not share, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, to me, it's just, you know, they're going to spiral down, because if you don't have good collaboration, a good support system, a good win-win situation, then, you know, you'll never really get to where you want to be. And when you talk about taking on these students or apprentices or you know, whatever mm-hmm. you're calling them, you know, you say, I'm creating competition. You're not creating competition. You're actually creating a wealth and expanding your network for further collaboration. So I see that as a total win.
True. Yeah, I definitely look at it like that. But I always think that, you know, folks want to, you know, get to the highest level they can. But probably creating competition is wrong. But, yeah, I am creating a network and hopefully wealth for us all. And that's really what I want to do, because I think when you collaborate, like you said there, Gene, but, you know, with the Dawns of the Weather World and the other brokers of getting things done and working with it really hard, that's when you learn from experience and those around you, and you get the deal done. You know, there are a lot of people in real estate in general, you know, even at some of the networking here, that, you know, do a lot of stuff, but they don't execute. They talk a big one. So I'm always about executing, okay? With my assistant that I have here in my office, and I'm fortunate enough to have that right now, we go over all our note deals every single day. We go over every single one of the deals that we have in the pipeline, okay? Where are we with this? What do we need to do? Do we need to call the buyer? Do we need to call the seller? Do I need to call that title agent? You know, or do I need to order a BPO? What is it we need to do? You know, there, and we identified 15 steps from the moment they say, yep, I'll go with your offer, to getting it closed. And so we follow those 15 steps to a T and make sure we jump on each one as efficiently as we can, because if we do that, then we're going to execute and we're going to get that deal closed. And that's really, really important, you know. But we got to have the deal first. So.
Well, that's true. I know I'm tempted to try to be in your apprentice program, but I've got too much other stuff I'm doing that, you know, that's...
I understand.
The entrepreneurs have that bright, shiny object syndrome, and I'm thinking, well, maybe no brokering. I've got so much other stuff that I need to punch out and finish before I start something new. But if somebody was interested in getting involved with you and your new mm-hmm. program, how would they get in touch with you?
They would go through our website at texasnoteco.com or send me an email directly at robert@texasnoteco.com. That's R-O-B-E-R-T at T-E-X-A-S-N-O-T-E-C-O.com. And, you know, I have a questionnaire, you know, because we qualify our students to make sure that, A, they can work with me, and B, I can work with you, and that we're on the same page. So we have a real short, simple questionnaire that we qualify students to be able to, you know, get into the program.
Oh, that's great. Well, I know you're going to be. I know you're going to create some opportunities for people who, you know, will just say, "Yeah, this is my sweet spot." I'm really looking forward to seeing you evolve as a mentor yourself. So I want to remind everybody two things. One, if you came in late on the call, I will post this up at rehabbingremotely.com, and you can subscribe actually via iTunes to the podcast. And also, if you have any questions, a star 6 will get you in the Q&A queue. And, you know, we've only – it was hard to talk Robert into coming here today. You know,
wasn't that hard.
Well, I had a very compelling argument, but yeah, we were at our weekly meeting, and you know, if you guys aren't part of a networking group, you know, I'm going to tell you this networking group that I go to, this is turned out to be one of the best I've ever known, and it doesn't cost any money. There's nobody that's selling anything. We don't have anybody, you know, having books and tapes or anything, and all we do is sit there and, you know, share what we've learned for the week, or you know, what's different, and how's this project going, and how's that coming up, and you know, in topics of the day, the current events in the news, and you know, as far as the real estate world, and you know, if you don't have a group like that in your area, I highly recommend that you start one. And you can do that easily through meetup.com and just start one and just be consistent. You know, there was a time there were only like 3 of us and sometimes just 2 of us that would show up. And
those were pretty fun meetings, though. I always liked the small ones myself.
I did, too. Harold and I co-organized this one in Austin. And I think we must have had 50 people there last time, 40 or 50 people. But consistency is what's really important, you know, like Robert said. So if anybody's got any questions for Robert, a star 6 will get you in the Q&A queue. And, let's see. So tell me, Robert, how many – I mean, you said you've mentioned the different states that you've done business in, but, you know, like you said, you know, what percentage are, I mean, we've already said you're not afraid to go outside of the state, you know, what can, I guess.
Well, I mean, I have followed a lead in every single state that there is in the union. I mean, all 50 states, and I think I even did one down in, like the Bahamas down there, or Virgin Islands. Yeah, it was a lead. It just I followed a lead in Hawaii, and I got yelled at by that one. So, I mean, I'll look at any note deal as long as it, you know, has money. And, you know, I've had guys call me from New Jersey, from Vermont, Boston, you know, all sorts of different places. But I will say, you know, because I'm the Texas Note Company, I cater to Texas. You know, majority of my leads are in Texas, as you might guess. Yeah, I mean, anywhere. Iowa, Montana was an interesting one. That's where, you know, it was a restaurant that I did in Montana. I don't know what the percentage. I would say that I'm probably 75% Texas and the other 25%, you know, the other states. Yeah.
So do you ever deal with any institutional type companies?
Yeah, I mean, I have, you know, banks that, you know, have lines of credit that buy notes that I present, you know, notes to, you know, sometimes, you know, I different banks, different that I work with in Houston, one here in Austin, you know, even the guy up in Boston. I've gotten a pretty good idea of what kind of paper that they like, what kind of paper, you know, they're going to be able to, what kind of offer they're going to be able to make, you know, if there's a mobile home on the property or if it's just land. You know, big thing right now is for me, as I've met a guy up in Odessa, and, you know, Odessa with the oil industry doing what it is just going bananas right now. Last night they said that Austin was the largest growing city in America. I don't believe that. I almost believe that it's Odessa up there. And one guy is, you know, he's taking a bunch of land, like 50 acres of land, cutting them up into different tracks that in wholesaling and our selling them out, creating notes. So that's why, you know, this year we kicked off with such a huge bang, because, you know, he's creating $100,000 notes. I'm buying them, you know, through my line of credit guy down in San Antonio, and we're just killing it. And it's been great. So, but I know the guy in San Antonio, he likes that type of paper. You know, he understands dirt. Some people are going to say, wow, dirt is dirt, man. What am I going to do with dirt if the guy doesn't pay with his bill? There's a value there. And it's, again, I go back to the story and some of the stuff and the way I really jumped after the seller, because the seller was creating notes. He initially created a 15-year note with a 7% interest rate. And I said, you know, John, if you want me to give you a 50%, 50 cents on the dollar, just create these notes like this. Like, well,
just keep doing that.
Let's work this a little bit. So he changed his terms because, you know, these were commercial notes that he was creating, because trucking companies were buying this land, you know, in the oil and putting their trucks there so they could pay it. They could, you know, make the, you know, 20 or 25% down payment, pay the 10% interest rate, and have only the term be like 5 years. And so John was, he's getting the value on his own. He's getting huge down payments, and he's getting the money out of his notes. And the only reason he's getting the money out of his notes is because he listened to what I told him and what we would buy. And right now I'm liking that guy a lot.
Oh, that's awesome. Sounds like the oil business is affecting the note business too. That's awesome.
Yes, it is.
Well, we still haven't had any questions come in. Star 6 will get you in the Q&A queue. But I want to bring in one more subject that we haven't touched on yet, and that's like buying streams, payment streams of notes. Do you get involved with that much?
Payment streams of notes?
Yeah.
I mean, I've done a lot of actually, remember Patty in our she was another note broker in our group. I helped her out with one of the deals that she had, and we made a huge commission. You know, that was her first deal, but it was where the seller only wanted to sell like 5 years of his 10 years of notes, and so we bought, you know, 60 payments of that, of payment streams. Does that answer your question?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we can do full buyouts, or we can do what we call partial buyouts. You know, buy a partial note. So a lot of times, if the credit's bad or whatever, we'll do a partial to keep a little skin in the game on the seller, to where the seller just can't cash out and go on the lost horizon.
Okay. Well, we do have a question, so hold on. Hi, is this Bob?
Hi, Jean. This is Bob.
Hi.
I was going to ask Robert about if he had any experiences about non-performing notes.
Be quite frank with you, Bob. I haven't done a lot of I haven't done any non-performing notes. I've had a lot of people ask me about that. When I first got in the business, you know, I would have people call me up and say, hey, I've got this big old tape of non-performing notes. And, you know, it was a tape of, you know, Excel spreadsheet of non-performing notes that had been around the country 10 times. So I ended up wasting time on stuff that I, you know, couldn't do. There's a group of guys here in town that look for non-performing notes, but they turn around and buy them themselves, and then they, you know, see if they can get them performing again or take the property. So, you know, that's their model. That hadn't been my thing. I haven't wanted to go down the non-performing note path as much. I mean, I've gotten so much people calling me, as I had two on Friday call me about non-performing notes. Hey, I have these fresh things. I balk at them. I always do. The only way I wouldn't balk is if a bank called me up and said, hey, Robert, you know, I've got these non-performing notes in my portfolio that I need to get out of here. Can you find a buyer for them? Now, if I had that, then it'd be a different ballgame. It's just that, you know, when somebody calls me out of the blue that says they have a tape and it's, you know, it's from a bank and everything else, I don't like to do that. I need to be direct, because then I know, I'll know whether or not I can get the deal done.
Okay, and Gene, can I ask a second question that's unrelated?
Sure.
Robert, I'm a hard money lender up in Michigan. But I do loans in Chicago and North Carolina and Florida. And I'm looking to expand that. But I have my limitations, and my biggest limitations is I've become, from time to time, capital constrained. So far, every time I bump up against that ceiling, if you will, I get lucky and either a loan pays off or I'm able to raise money either through my own bank and that increases my lines of credit, or or a private investor comes along and gives me an infusion of capital.
Sure.
While that's one of many nightmares I have at night of running out of money, I've been building a network of people across the country that are similar to me, small hard money lenders in various states. Are you willing to lend outside of Texas?
Yes, on the hard money side, I'm willing to lend in states that are non-fiduciary.
Okay, I gotcha.
I'm not going to lend in a state where if I have to foreclose on that property, I'm going to have to go to court.
We call it judiciary states. Okay, and that's I'd have to review that, but yeah. I think most of the states that I'm involved in, Michigan, actually, they give you a choice. Carolina, I think, is non-judicial. Illinois is definitely, and I'm not sure about Florida.
Florida, you just take the property back, just like Texas.
I only work with people I have complete faith in Florida, to tell you the truth.
Bob is my hard money lender on my deals in Florida. Just go ahead and tell everybody.
And to be truthful with you, Robert, she's my only borrower in Florida.
That's all right. Cool. I'll get across some sweet deals. It'll happen just fast.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, look, if you're willing to have that discussion, if I become capital constrained, would you consider some transactions?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's got to be a non-fiduciary state, and we have certain guidelines that we have. If the money's there and a good profit on the deal, heck yeah, I'll do it.
Wonderful. Very good. Well, I'll stay in touch with you.
And
thank you for your information.
Yeah, sure. Robert, also, we do have this buying trip coming up in Atlanta, and I don't believe that's a judicial state. And if you do have some funds that you're willing to help with the group, then we need to talk about that later. Yeah, and I just want to remind everybody, if they're interested in the buying trip in Atlanta, it's GeneNorton.com/Atlanta. Lots of good information there. So we do have another question. Thanks for your question, Bob.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, this is the 760 area code.
Hey, Gene, this is Rocky. Rocky, I think you know me from the
Armando.
How are you doing, Gene?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, Robert, I'm a gap funder, and I gap fund, different parts of the country, and I came across this deal in Colorado Springs. This is the situation. I don't know whether opportunity here. The hard money loan is for $200,000, and we have a property under contract for $240,000. After closing costs and everything, it's $235,000. But the problem is, the subordinate
you're only
lien,
approved for 200.
The subordinate liens on the property is like 87,000. So that its liens are way more than the best way on the situation like this is the subordinate lien holders sign off and then get that they can get and move on, but they are not willing to release the liens. So this is going to go to foreclosure. It is on track. The foreclosure date is set for June. In this case, can you buy the note for $200 and all fees are paid for the attorney, for the foreclosure, everything else, and June comes, realtor is willing to sell this property, he thinks he can sell it to closer to 250. But then, is there any way that you could purchase the first note on this for 200 and make money, or do you do such things? This is the specific example in Colorado.
Right. So you said that the first note is $200,000, and then the second note is 87, right?
There are second, third, and fourth. There's a whole bunch of them for 87,000. Obviously,
so
that will be all wiped out.
So second, third, and fourth collectively are 87,000, right?
Correct.
Okay. And the first one is a $200,000 note, right? Okay.
Yeah, 196, but there's some fees involved. I'm pretty sure
right.
You can get 200.
So is the 200,000, is it a non-performing note?
I don't know that part. Can you explain what is a performing and a non-performing? It's a hard
one. Well, are they current or are they late or are they past due?
The note was due. I don't know.
This is the way I would look at that. We actually were looking at a deal on the hard money side on this very thing where. The first position note was it's like $197,000, close to that.
Yeah.
We were going to buy that note with hard money with 40 cents on the dollar. The taxes were past due and everything else. And, we were going to foreclose on the property, pay off the first, pay the taxes and everything. It didn't need a lot of rehab. Actually, Gina's out in Terra Vista. And sell the property for $300,000, with the real estate as crazy as right now. So we would have really, been able to buy that note for about $70,000. And with that, there's not a lot there for the first, but we would have been able to pay off the first with that money as well, too, and, then sell it for $300,000. I mean, that would have been a nice little, commission there. If we got the deal. So, I mean, sometimes you can make those numbers work and buy the note in foreclosure. I've been involved in a couple of those transactions. If there's only 87,000 and if the note seller is willing to, sell that $200,000 note at, 40 cents on the dollar if it's non-performing, then, you could get a deal done there.
Okay. The
key there is what price are you going to be able to buy that note? And if the seller is like, well, I'm going to sell it to you at 75 cents on the dollar, you can't get it to work.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You'll lose money.
I think, okay, that makes a little more sense now. So note is actually due, and we have a contract right now to sell the property for 240 minus the closing cost. But obviously the second, third, and the fourth lien holders, they don't want to lift the lien, so it's going to go to foreclosure.
You go to foreclosure, and then that wipes out all the other liens. So now I would go back to the second, third, and fourth lien holders. I'd say, look, you either let me pay you off at a 50 cents on the dollar or, make some deal with them, or this is what's going to happen. I'm going to, put this property in foreclosure. I'm going to, turn around and sell it after that. But as soon as it goes in foreclosure, it wipes all over their liens out. They don't get anything.
Mm.
Yeah. So then,
I was thinking, Robert, go in and, I don't think the hard money lender is going to discount the note. Why would he? He would wait out another 4 months and go to the foreclosure sale and add all his fees and everything else, and then
is the foreclosure sale. So again, how much is the property worth then?
It's under contract for 240 right now.
It's under contract. So how much would it sell at auction?
I don't know. I mean, he will bid it up to a dollar more than what is owed to him at that point, right? And then if nobody buys,
So $197,000. And somebody buys it for $197,001, the other third and fourth and fifth liens, they're gone at that point in time.
Yeah, they're all wiped out,
they're all wiped out. That sounds like, a very interesting deal. I mean, you have leverage. If it's a hard money lender, then he certainly understands the position that he's in.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
So he sounds like, to me, you know, you could work something out there, potentially.
Yeah, that is what I was talking. The judicial state, what is Colorado? Is it a judicial or a fiduciary? I don't know that part.
I don't know.
You know? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's a, I mean, I can go on Google and say it was Colorado fiduciary state.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jean. Okay.
You're welcome. Okay, we do have another question. This is the 520 area code.
Hey, Jean, and Bob, I believe it was, and actually Rocky.
I'm sorry?
Sue. This is Sue in Arizona.
Oh, hi, Sue. Yeah, I was thinking about you guys. The guy was talking about his problem because Sue and her business partner, Jamine, actually have a offer a workout service on situations like that, where everybody can get together and, you know, do their negotiations so everybody can walk away with something. Did I say that right, Sue?
That's exactly what I just jumped in to say. And with respect to Rocky's question, when it comes to a hard money lender, that is just, and Rocky, I've been a hard money lender myself. We don't want to own properties. We want to just make it happen. And get our money back as best as we can. And when it comes to the foreclosure process, it is an extensive process. So even with dealing with your Norris groups, you know, you name them all out there, they don't want to deal with the foreclosure, but they will be very willing to negotiate and take a slightly less profit as opposed to going through the foreclosure process. Now, I'm not 100% sure on Rocky's deal whether or not there's too much hanging in the wings.
Mm-hmm.
And the foreclosure may say, or the hard money lender may say, I'm not going to take a loss. They'll take less of a profit, but they won't take a loss. That's the best way to put it. Yeah.
I think that's all
I wanted to jump in and say.
Right. I know. I think it's important that people know that these kind of services do exist. I really didn't know that they existed, but there are times when, you know, like just the situation that Rocky had outlined, you know, where the combined liens are more than the value of the house, you know, there's, you know, you can go through the law, you know, what the law says, and, you know, the hard money lender can foreclose or, you know, do whatever they need to do, and, you know, or you can actually talk it out and negotiate. And really, Sue and Jeanine are the only people that I know that I know of personally that actually offer this service. And so just real quick, Sue, if somebody was in the middle of that, how would they get in touch with you?
Oh my goodness! They can hit our website. They can email me directly, and I'm going to say email Jeanine directly, just simply because her email address is the easiest to say online.
Uh-huh.
And her email address is P as in Paul, M as in Mary, S as in Sam, O as in Oscar, LLC@gmail.com.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks for chiming in, Sue. I think that's really important to know that there are alternatives, and, you know, if you find yourself caught in that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you're caught in that situation, if you're a hard money lender, we can help you make something. If you're the flipper, you're probably going to lose. but the hard money lender is not going to foreclose, and you're not going to lose as much. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I can understand those kinds of situations.
Right.
Yeah, I've got my deal from hell.
We're in Chicago?
Oh, no, it was in Austin. Robert, you remember that one where I added square footage to this house?
Yes, I remember which one you're talking about now.
Yeah.
And Gene, I'm still dealing with my deal from hell in Missouri.
Oh, no.
So, I hear you. It's all happening, you know.
Yeah,
we all have our hard lessons.
Yeah, everybody's got to have those kinds of experiences to say, yes, I pushed through that. I did that. And it didn't make me a bad, you know, business person. It was an experience that I went through. I learned a lot. I pushed through it. And no, I don't like thinking about it a lot. You know, I don't like talking about it a lot, but it happened. And it's just like everybody that I've had on these calls. We had Robert said he worked 2 months for this $1,200 deal and ignored all of the other marketing. You know, that's a lesson learned. But look at where he is today. I've had John Fedro, who is the mobile home guy that was on the phone. He says the first time I actually had to, you know, knock on somebody's door, he had to pull over and throw up first. But he pushed through that, and he kept going. And, you know, if you come to these calls regularly, you hear about that. The people that are successful at what they do, it doesn't mean that it's always easy. There's tough times, and it's when you can talk about them and say, yes, I did it. I've been there. It hurt. And, you know, and I'm pushing through that. I think that shows a lot of integrity in people.
Mm-hmm. And on the same note, it could be it hurt, but I came through it on the positive side, too. It can go either way.
Yes, it can.
You know, it just took me longer, but I got there. And I did have a question for Bob, too.
For Bob? Okay, hold on. Let me find him and unmute him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant your guest speaker. I thought his name was
Robert. Oh, Robert. Okay.
Robert.
Yeah.
Robert.
Getting muted back again. Okay, Robert.
Yes.
Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, I'm sorry, Robert. I just abbreviated your name. Okay, Robert. hey, do you ever seek out folks that hold their own? I mean, for example, I have a mortgage that I hold. Do you ever seek out mortgages on a performing note to purchase those or anything along those lines? Or do you basically go to, you know, the hedge funds and whatever to pick up your note?
Well, I mean, I seek them out. I seek out, you know, not necessarily you, the borrower, although...
I did not mean to know you and I was the borrower. I actually hold the mortgage.
Oh,
somebody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You're the type of person I would call up and say, are you receiving monthly payments on property that you sold? And you'd say, yeah. It's like, well, you know, I'm a note guy. I'd like to make you an offer on your note. So, yeah, you're the, you know, target of people that I'm seeking. I actually go out there and look. And I don't go to hedge funds. You know, I spend a lot of time and effort looking for people just like you.
And if I were going to seek you out, where would I find you?
Well, you could go to Google and you could put in, you know, a search term, you know, like sell my note in Texas, or you could find me at texasnoteco.com. You know, I've done a lot of work in Google, you know, we show up, but that's how a lot of our leads come in, is through the website. And if you wanted to find me, you could, you know, type in my name, Texas Note Company, or whatever, and, you know, we're all over the place. I've done a lot of video marketing, so I'm going to put up when you put in your keywords. You might, you know, be searching on, you know, hey, I need to find a note buyer. Well, a note buyer in Texas, I'm going to be one of the top people up there. If you do a note buyer from where you are in Arizona, I may not be as high right now. But I'll probably still on the first page.
Yep. And my note is in a really, you know, crappy market. It's called California.
yeah, right. yeah, they'll pay you extra for that one.
right.
But I was just wondering, what do you pay on the dollar?
It depends. You know, if you have a 5% note, you know, over 30 years, I'm probably going to pay you 45 cents on the dollar. If you have a 10% note with a 7-year AM of some sort and a good down payment and good credit, you know, I might be able to offer you up close to 90%, 90 cents on the dollar. Maybe. You know, every note is different. I look at three things. I look at the value of the property, I look at the terms of the note, and I look at the borrower and their ability to make future payments. When we buy notes, we will pay up to 75% of the value of that property as it is today. So if that value of that property is worth $100,000, at most I will pay you $75,000 for that property. You know, and that particular reason that we do that is, if you know, something goes wrong, I want to be able to know that I can get my money back.
Mm-hmm. And I'm only asking because I know the property value has increased since I sold the property, so it's valued at much higher than when I mortgaged it out to the buyer. And there's probably only 6 years left on their note, you know, and it's still a performing note. Payments on time, boom, bangle, you know. And I was just asking, basically, if you're saying 70 cents on the dollar, I'll keep it, you know, no offense.
Sure.
And if you're in my shoes, you do
taken.
The same, you know. Yeah, but that's where I was.
Yeah, as I say, every particular one, you know, is different. And you know, sometimes we have to look at the property, the collateral. We have to look at the, you know, the borrower and what their history has been. As I say, that note in San Antonio that I was telling you about that we were working on Friday, the credit came back really bad on that particular borrower. And what we learned is they took out a car loan 6 months ago. They're about to default on it, and they took out a payday loan last week. And when I told the seller that, she's like, really? You know, she was all of a sudden worried that she wasn't going to get her payment. But those are risks that, you know, we build into our offer that if we're going to buy it, you know, we want them to perform. We don't want to, you know, buy a non-performing note and have to go through the process of foreclosing on it. We will. You know, that's just not what we're looking for right now.
Yeah, or a potentially non-performing note that the lender, such as me, didn't realize
right.
was there. So you're seeing a little more information than we are because I personally don't follow the credit of my borrower.
You know, and
so
that's one thing.
I'm getting paid on time.
That's one thing I would say that people like yourself, you're not alone there, and a lot of folks don't kind of vet, you know, the person they're putting in the property. Actually, Gene and I have somebody in there in our networking group. His name's Gary, and he does a lot of, you know, wraps transactions, and he put somebody in a property, you know, right before Christmas, and after he did that, he realized that person, you know, had a foreclosure on a previous property, the credit was really bad, and he was just kind of, you know, he's really worried right now that, you know, because they haven't made one payment yet, and the previous property they closed on, you know, they took all the doorknobs, they did a lot of damage to the house. They super glued all the windows when they finally got evicted by the constable. So I would say that it's very, very important to vet the person that you are owner financing to make sure that, you know, it's somebody you can feel comfortable with.
I understand fully what you're saying. And within my particular situation, this person has been paying for 7 years. And
yeah, that
paying
should be
on time. So I haven't been monitoring throughout the thing, and I'm sorry to cut you off, Gene. Please jump in.
No, that's okay. It just sounds like you've got the ideal note to sell.
I can certainly put it through our process and make you an offer. That doesn't cost you anything.
Well, perfect. I'll give you a search, and actually, I'll give Gene an email and see what we can do.
Yeah, and what can you give out your email address, Robert?
Yeah, my email is robert@texasnoteco.com. That's R-O-B-E-R-T @texasnoteco.com.
Okay. Well, this has been a fascinating call, and I want to remind everybody about, you know, that Robert is actually accepting some apprentices. If you are interested in getting into the note brokering business, it seems to be one of these where there's enough business to go around for everybody. And so go ahead and reach out to Robert if you're interested in that, and or if you know somebody that has a note that they want to sell or wants to buy those.
You
know, Robert's your man, and he's not afraid to go outside of Texas. So I want to remind everybody about the Atlanta trip coming up, which is April 11th through 13th, and it's GeneNorton.com/Atlanta. I invite you to look into that. It's an event like no other. I'm really looking forward to it. And Robert, I want to thank you again for taking time out of away from your family. I know how important that is for you to be on this call.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, it's been it was great. So, well, everybody, thank you very much. And Robert, did you have any one last parting comment, or are you good?
No, the one parting comment, something you reminded me of, was Franklin Delano Roosevelt's speech, where he talks about, you know, it's much better to have the person, you know, get in the game and get scarred up a little bit and, you know, really get into bruises, as opposed to the person that stands on the sidelines and is timid. I was looking online for that because it's a great quote, but it fit exactly to what you were saying before. So.
Yeah, I'll look for that then. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, I have it. I'll send it to you somewhere. But it's really, really cool. He says a lot better than I do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. I think it's really important to know it's okay if you stumble every now and then.
Absolutely.
So. Okay, then. Well, thank you, everybody. And the other calls are on rehabbingremotely.com. And I did write a blog post recently, so if you want to check that out, it's, you know, I'm always sharing. Tell your friends about these calls, about the website, my blog, et cetera. I love to share. And next week we will have, let me see, what is next week is the first. We are going to have a asset protection lady that is awesome. I've heard her on one of these other calls, and I cannot wait to have it. So look for the invitation for next week's call in your email. So thank you very much, everybody, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jean.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.